So I warned you that I was going to talk about practice. So that means I'm going to talk about practice, but it also means that you're going to talk about practice if I can get you to do that. The first thing I want to talk about is how different our practices are. My analogy is that our practices are as different as snowflakes. Sound familiar? But I don't really know if that's true. And one of the reasons is because people don't talk about their practice very much. So we'll find out tonight if our practices are as different as snowflakes. And the second aspect of practice that I want to talk about is how through our practice we can come closer to ourselves. You might remember, those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, that Deborah Chamberlain Taylor talked about intimacy with ourselves and others, and I think that that's part of what I want to also talk about, is practice as becoming close and intimate with ourselves. So I'm going to start first with how each of us have a different practice. Edward S.B. Brown, who some of you may remember as the head cook at Tassajara for many years, he's also an accomplished Zen teacher. Here's how he defines practice. You sit down, you close your eyes. After a while, somebody rings the bell. What happens in between? That's meditation. So that's a pretty radical definition of meditation, isn't it? Yeah. So let's explore that. What I'd like to do is to practice in front of you to show you what my practice was like this last 40 minutes that we sat together. So I won't go through the whole thing, but I'm just going to try to recall those parts of the practice that that I can still remember. So I'm going to close my eyes to do that because it'll be easier. Certainly I felt a certain amount of energy roaming through my body. It was kind of exciting. My stomach hurt. My breathing was kind of full. I tried to take a few more deeper breaths, and I started hearing sounds. I heard sounds from outside. I heard sounds from people coming in. And then I started hearing that sound that Ajahn Sumedho calls the sound of silence, that kind of little tingling sound in my own ears. So I was happy that it was the sound. I was happy to be sitting with sound for as long as I could make it last. But then, you know, thoughts did come, thoughts arose, and I heard little phrases of my talk go through my mind, and a little doubt arising, and all those things. Then I happened to look at the clock, and it was 8:02, and I said, oh, good, oh, good. And then the next thing I remember, I spaced out a little bit, I'm sure, and then the next thing I remember was what I often do on nights when James isn't here. I hear in my head the pitch that I'm going to start the chant on. And so it was kind of wavery, and I think tonight it was lower than usual, but I did finally find the note, and that's what happened. So that's what my practice is like. Not too dramatic. I think that we've had hints along the way that that our practices are different. Like, for example, when we do exercises here and people would ask a question or make a comment, and it's frequently I feel like, gee, I wonder where that came from, or I never would have thought of that, or I wouldn't have said that. Another way that you can experience that is if you're on a retreat and you're in a group interview and people are talking about their practice, like, whoa, I never thought of that. And the most way I hear about it is when I'm doing my walking practice out in that courtyard at Spirit Rock, waiting for my interview, and out of those 5 interview rooms comes all this amazing laughter. They're all hysterical. And I'm thinking, what is so funny? My practice isn't funny. So that's a kind of how we have hints that practice for different might be different for other people than for ourselves. So I'm wondering, one of the reasons I think for the fact that we don't really know about each other's practices is that we don't talk about it. It's very rare, even in my KM groups, that people actually talk about their practice experience. They might talk about something that was related, but they don't actually talk about practice. Other reasons for difference in practice may be that we're doing different practices. So you might be doing metta, and someone else might be doing choiceless awareness, and someone else might be doing a kind of concentration that was like right here, or somebody might be doing a metta practice. And so, of course, those practices are going to be different. But my sense is that even people who are doing the same practice at the same time are having a different experience. But we're going to check that out tonight. Another thing is that we come to our practice from different life experiences. So obviously that's going to affect how we practice. We've also heard the instructions from different teachers, and certainly different teachers emphasize different things, like Ed S.B. Brown, you know, emphasizing nothing. And finally, we sometimes get stuck with certain ideas that we have about practice, and our practice is kind of formed by those ideas. So, for example, in my case, I'm pretty good coming back to the breath, one thought, coming back to the breath. So what I noticed in the last couple of months was that I was using my breath as a kind of a scalpel to kind of cut away those thoughts or feelings that I was having that I didn't particularly like. And I wasn't doing that deliberately, but I noticed that that was happening, that this little scalpel was just coming down. Oh, back to the breath. So that was an idea that I had, that I was doing it right, and that was what I was supposed to be doing, but actually it wasn't serving me. So that's just another aspect. So before I go any further, I feel as obliged to deal with the reasons why we might not want to talk about practice. And the obvious one, of course, is comparing mind. I'm sure that there is no one in this room who has not spent many fruitless hours comparing themselves to someone else for some other reason. It's particularly painful to do it in practice. And I can give you a nice example from my own experience of I sat the 3 months at Barry pretty much before I was really ready to do that. So right away I started having a terrible time. It was really, really hard. And I was sitting next to this person next to me, right there, and she smiled. I mean, I noticed, like, you know, after the second day she was smiling. And I thought, and then... But then she kept smiling, and then I noticed that when I would go out for the walking period and I would come back, she was still sitting there, she was still smiling. Oh, I can't tell you that I was feeling kindly towards her. And it just got, I mean, she smiled more and I smiled less. It was very interesting. I found out later that she had been doing metta for several months, and she was doing metta right then, and she was kind of like well into her kind of metta, but I didn't know that at the time, and of course... Even so, it wouldn't have made any difference. I was having a bad time. So that's why teachers encourage us not to talk about practice, so that we won't just spend all our time saying, oh, that person's doing it better. Or remember that story that James tells about when he was in the walking room and he's looking, oh, looking good, looking good, looking good. I love that story that he tells, because that's the other part of comparing mind that's so painful, is that you think that you're the best one and everyone else is like looking at you. And, you know, that's not, actually it turns out that doesn't feel good either, you know, like comparing either way doesn't feel good. So I think that that's mostly the main reason the teachers encourage us not to do it. But there's another reason, which was brought home to me by one of my first teachers, Christina Feldman, who used to teach and actually still does teach the women's retreat. In the days when I was going to it was up in Santa Rosa. This was because this was before Spirit Rock. There was no Spirit Rock in those days. There wasn't even an idea of Spirit Rock, so we went to other retreat centers and did our retreats. So Christina was a very exacting and inspiring to me teacher, and I noticed after a while that she never spoke about her practice at all, period. And most of her Dharma talks were about not creating for ourselves kind of signposts or expectations or goals about what practice was supposed to be like. And she was really firm about this because she felt that we caused ourselves a lot of suffering and we kind of set ourselves off in ways that were not helpful to us because, maybe because, everybody's practice was different, although she didn't say that. So I, in my admiration for her, I took on that belief that we shouldn't talk about practice, and I held it for many years. In fact, when I came back from the three-month retreat, I had this great idea. I'm going to have a sitting group in my house. People are going to come. We're going to sit. It's going to be great. So I invited people to come over and sort of made my friends come. And so we sat the first time, and I rang the bell. And then this friend of mine said, well, gee, that was an interesting sitting. And she started to talk about her practice. And I said, oh, no, we can't do that. And she kind of looked at me like, well, what are we going to do? And I actually didn't have an answer, but I knew we weren't supposed to talk about practice. So so the group didn't work out, as you can imagine. So even though I bought into Christina's notion that it was a good idea not to talk about practice, I still was curious about what was going on in other people's practice, and particularly the teachers, because, you know, we feel like they're farther along the path than we are, right? And so they must have some tips that they could give us, if only they would. So one time I was sitting down at Yucca Valley, and Carol Wilson was teaching that night, and she was talking about right speech. And she said, as a matter of fact, I can give you an example of something that happened to me a couple of hours ago. And everybody went dead silent. It was like, wow, she's going to tell us something about her practice. And I mean, everybody leaned forward. We wanted to know what she would say. And she actually told a story, which was very simple, about how she was talking with someone that she cared a great deal for, who was a colleague of hers, and she felt her energy rising and getting a little excited and kind of attached to her view, and this felt really familiar to her, and she kind of had a good idea of where this was going to go, and she stopped. She said, I stopped, and I just closed my eyes, and I felt that energy rising, and I knew I didn't want to go there, and I remembered my intention to do right speech, and she said, so I just started all over again. And it was a very simple story, but it was very inspiring to me, and it felt really real because she really was telling, I mean, she was giving us that sense of what it had been like for her in that moment. So I feel that it is possible to talk about practice with one another. Sorry, Laura. How about that? Okay. It is possible to talk about practice with one another. But it's good to keep in mind that when comparing mind arises, that's a good opportunity to practice, to remember how painful that is, and to see if there isn't some other way we can maybe let go of that idea that we should compare ourselves with others. And if you can't do that, you could always try to cultivate one of the Brahma Viharas, which is a nice way of clearing your mind. Like to, you could say, Karuna, practice for yourself, compassion for the suffering that you're experiencing or that you imagine someone near you is experiencing. Or you could take the opportunity to feel happy for your own happiness or for the person sitting next to you who was smiling all that time. So those are some way we can deal with the obstacles to talking about practice. So I think it's time. So before we go any farther, I'd like to invite you to sit again for about 5 minutes. And so if you could just kind of, you know, find that comfortable position. And I got my kitchen timer here. So if you'll sit, I'll ring the bell in 5 minutes. So now what I'd like to ask you to do is to form triads. So if you could do that without talking, and I'll just say that in listening tonight, I'd like to tell you something that somebody shared with me this weekend, that listening in the Chinese character is composed of three ideas, the eyes, the ears, and the heart. So if you can listen to one another in that way, I think it will make people feel more comfortable talking about something that they usually don't talk about. So has everybody got two other people to talk to? Okay, so the first person who's going to talk is the person with the shortest hair. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes. So I'll ring the bell after 2 minutes, and then you can change to the person with the medium length hair. Are you getting this? Okay, and then you're going to talk about what happened in that 5 minutes. So each person is going to talk, the other people are going to listen in a kind way. There's no dialogue, it's just listening to someone else talk about their practice. And remember that you probably don't know how to do this very well, so that's okay. There's no right way to do it. It's like however it comes out. Okay, so I'll ring the bell in 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you when to switch. Yes, I will. I'll ring the bell. Okay, the person with the second shortest hair, or the medium length hair. All right, the last person now. It's your turn. Okay, so why don't you just spend a few minutes with your group partners talking about what that was like for you? Just, you know, if you haven't already done that, what it was like listening to someone else talk about their practice, what it was like for you talking about your practice. Just, you know, what was that? How was that? Okay, so what was that? So would you... Hello. I know you're having fun. So, yes, you can thank each other and... yes, we will be talking more to each other, but you won't be talking to the same people. So would anybody like to just say what that was like in your group or for you? We have this roving mic, so if somebody would like to talk. I'd love to hear you. Jackie will pass it around. Are you going to talk?
I'll talk first.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
So for me, it was really
closer.
Interesting to hear what other people's experience was and also to talk about what my experience was, because I don't do that generally, you know, what's happening moment to moment and in my practice. So I felt like a great opening up for me.
Yay. Thank you. Just what I didn't pay her to say that. She said it on her own. Anybody else?
Well, I found it very energizing. The result, just a lot of energy in the room, and I realized it would be interesting to have further conversations about this.
Great.
I wasn't completely finished.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. So what we're going to do now is try a different way of doing it. So I told you earlier that I had noticed this experience of cutting my thinking and my emotions off with this nice scalpel of my breath. And in reflecting on that, I realized that it wasn't just something that I did in practice, that it was something that was pretty common, that I recognized in my life. And it tended to make me tight, tended to make my practice tight. It tended to just kind of like constrict things. And I realized I had some choice about that, that I didn't have to do that. So what I've done subsequently when I feel that big scalpel coming is just to try to push it back and to let the thought just go where it wants to go, or let that feeling go where it wants to go. And, you know, we imagine that what'll happen is it'll just kind of, we'll just kind of go off in papancha, but that doesn't always happen. Often the thought just wants to be thought, or the feeling just wants to be felt, and then naturally you go back to being calm. So that's just something I've observed about my practice. So what I'd like to invite you to do is to close your eyes again, and for a few minutes, not as many as we had before, but for a few minutes, just to think about something in your own practice that has caught your attention lately or that you're really interested in. Try to find two other people that you didn't talk to last time, and arrange yourself again in some fashion so that you can hear each other. Okay. All right. Thank you. So will the person now with the longest hair begin and just speak to the people who are listening to you and describe this thing that you've described about your practice? Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. You're talking about what just happened, what you came up with, what you thought about in your own practice. The point is that it's something that you've observed over time, not something that was just happening in the moment, but something about your practice that occurred to you in those moments. Okay, you're going to change now. So the person with the middle-length hair is going to have an opportunity to talk. Okay, the last person now has an opportunity. Okay, I'm sorry, time's up. So thank your partners. So I'm really interested in hearing what it was like, what went on, what happened. Is it true that your practices are different? Let's find out. Does anybody like to start? Yeah. Allison, could you pass it over? Thank you.
I was actually, just responding to what you just said, because I was actually more struck by how they were the same. Not that there was the same thing going on, but just that the experience of this kind of, this mishmash kind of experience was common among us. You know, that we'd like it to be somehow more crystal clear, but it's actually more jumbled in a way and hard to remember even after just 5 minutes. You know, and I think that the commonalities were, to me, more striking in a sense than the differences, even though they were very different. Does that make sense?
So she didn't have the mic up at first. So what she said was that what they seemed to have in common with it was that there was kind of more of an experience of mishmash where they would have preferred clarity. And although their practices were actually different, that was a very common thread among the three of them that they wished it wasn't so messy. Is that fair? Yeah, okay. Anyone else like to say anything? Oh, come on, you guys were talking so much. Share with me. I didn't get to hear any of it. Thanks.
I think one of the things that was interesting to hear, I think of coming here as, okay, it's a time where we have a meditation time, you know, a social time. I mean, it's a very sort of defined piece. We're all here for the same reason. Yet where we're coming from to this point is very different. And so even though some of the same pieces were talked about on the practice, how that connected with that person's life, was very different because their challenges or where they are or what they're working with could be very different or a very different daily experience than for me. And so that those differences yet a connection of sameness was a good reminder.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Good.
And we talked about, again, seeking clarity and the problems of separation and coming together, the experience of being in a group meditating together being a different experience than meditating at home alone. And both are valuable parts of the practice, but each of them is necessary to the practice.
And is that what you meant by separation? That
we had each talked about separating from a relationship recently, and that part of the practice. I mean, just watching what it is to be away from that relationship. Who's next?
Good, thank you.
This is not exactly about what we talked about, but the thing that's most moving to me is that it's so easy for me to come in here and feel isolated. And even though the actual sitting is fairly strong and deep, but it's actually the relating through these exercises, and we've done that before. We've done that with different times. That it's actually the interaction that to me is community building. So the juxtaposition between coming here and sitting and meditating and just listening and then walking out, compared to having some of these exercises, it's very dramatic. It's a very dramatic difference in terms of feeling connected versus feeling disconnected. So, and I think that that's a really important part of the practice in terms of mutual support. So,
thank you for saying that, yes. I think that that's the whole idea of the spiritual friends groups, the Kalyanamitta groups, is that you have an opportunity really to explore your experience with people who understand the language that you're using and what you're talking about. And there's really no replacing that. No matter how deep your practice is, there's no replacing that support from other practitioners. Yeah, thank you for bringing it up. Yeah, Michael, were you going to talk?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I think the hallmark of my practice is a growing willingness to not know what I'm doing and really enjoying doing it wrong and having no hope of ever learning how to meditate. And liking it more and more that I can sit here shamelessly and with great pride, growing a healthy pride, I think, and almost an arrogance that it's okay. It's okay that I don't know how to concentrate. I probably have ADD. And I'm really enjoying just resting and sometimes napping. And there's kind of an edge of loving kindness to it without practicing loving kindness.
Good.
So I really appreciate everybody's co-participation in helping that happen for me, because I'm not doing it.
And I appreciate your being willing to talk about it.
Yeah. And I really love you for the way you presented this tonight. It was really refreshing. It really helped me connect.
Great. Thanks, Michael. Anybody else want to add to this? It's unusual that we did what we did tonight, so I know that you're feeling something, right? And we have 5 minutes, so go ahead, say it. good.
I just wanted to say that I shared once after a group in Benicia, and everybody came up to me because my experience was so profound that I could not keep my mouth shut. And before they even started the Dharma talk, I just said I have to share my experience. And everyone came up to me afterwards and thanked me. They said, "We've been coming here forever. No one's ever shared anything that's ever happened to them. And you're new, and you just opened up and shared something really personal." And they were so touched. And I think I love it when people talk about their experiences because I think it's inspiring. I don't feel, you know, that envy or I'm doing it wrong. I just feel like, wow, there's, you know, such a vast, you know, place that we can go in our meditation. And it's just, I find it really inspiring. So,
thanks, Alice.
So thanks for the talk. I think this is great.
Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
I just really appreciate the tolerance with which you talked about how hard it can be to do what you consider within the parameters of proper meditating, and it does me good to hear it. I'm just trying, and that's all I can do. And it's interesting what we see, and that's what I'm trying to come away with. Is it's definitely interesting. Thanks.
Good. As long as your practice is interesting, what could be better? Right. Good. So I think we're... Yeah, go ahead. There's one more here.
I wanted to share something about my practice. For me, I think the practice is like more what I do off the cushion, because on the cushion I feel, even though I think a lot sometimes, I feel like I'm more aware of what's happening. So what I try to do is, when I'm talking with people, or with them, as I'm talking right now, just be aware of what's going on in my body, at least I feel what's happening. Any tightness coming up, any openness, any tenseness. And that's my practice. And, you know, some days I am aware, and some days I'm not at all aware, and I'm in the old patterns. That's my predominant practice right now.
Thank you for sharing that. And isn't it great when we are aware?
Yes, but like, was it Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm beginning to appreciate the times I'm not aware as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so thank you very much for your participation. I really appreciate it. And let's share the merit. So may whatever merit we have created by being together here tonight and by this exploration of our practice be of a benefit to ourselves and to all we meet. May we bring a kind awareness to all we do. May we know ourselves completely. May we be at peace with ourselves and with one another. May all beings be kind and gentle to themselves. May all beings know themselves completely. And may all beings be at peace with themselves and one another. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.